To Matthew. Our scripture reading will be from verse 31 to verse 46. When you found your place, if you're able to, with any ease, we'll stand in reverence to the word of the Lord as we read it this morning. Matthew chapter 25. Did I not say that? Did I just say Matthew?
Yeah.
Verse 31, you should have known. What's wrong with you people? Matthew chapter 25. In verse 31, always helpful when I give you a chapter, isn't it? Just be in prayer for Brother Neil this morning. He's preaching up at Tanham Sands for Shining Light. And then also Ian and Jazz. I don't think Jazz is preaching this morning, but I think Ian is. And again tonight down at Lifegate at Mount Gravatt for Brother Zimmerman. So pray for them if you would please as he ministers the word down there. All right, Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Can I just say, you better be careful how you treat the brethren. You better be careful how you treat the brethren. God takes it very seriously how you treat his children. Amen and amen. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. My Lord, we surely do need you at the moment. And Father, I look to thee for help and for mercy, for grace, for fresh anointing and unction to preach your word. My Lord, please meet with us this morning. I pray for those that are here. Lord, thank you for each and every soul that's made an effort to gather here this morning. And my Lord, I don't know what's on their hearts today. I don't know what burdens they're carrying. Maybe it's the burden of sin. And God, I pray you'd lift that burden today and save a soul. Lord, maybe it's a saint under a heavy burden. I pray you'd minister to them. And God, we just ask that your perfect will would be accomplished. And Lord, we ask a blessing, not only on this service, but also the service at Lifegate. Help Ian this morning, Lord. Use him this morning and again tonight. And then we ask a blessing upon Brother Neil. Use him as he's preaching up there at Tanham Sands at Shining Light. Minister to those folks up there, we pray. Help us, we plead. We're in need of mercy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to draw your attention to verse 34 and a statement here. Notice the first just count the words. The first five words in verse 34. Then shall the king say. Then shall the king say. What a statement. Then shall the king say. Well, how did I get here? Well, let me just share you a little something. I was at the grocery store yesterday, and my wife and I were there getting some groceries, and we're at the checkout, and there was a young family to our left, and they were a young couple. They had two children, maybe somewhere around, the oldest might have been 10 at a stretch, the youngest, a young boy, maybe somewhere around 7 or 8. And he was acting like a little toad. He was being a feral, as you see so often in grocery stores and shops and in society and our children without any control. And, you know, as I watched that play out and I listened to the parents repeatedly said, "What would Santa say?" That's how they were trying to control their child. What would Santa say? What would Santa say? Repeat. I mean, I couldn't tell you how many times they said, "What would Santa say about how you're behaving?" And then Dad went so far, and I did it when I got back here. I figured out how to do it. You can call Santa. Did you know that? Apparently, there's a phone number you can ring, and it calls Santa, and you can talk to Santa. And so he put his young boy on the phone to Santa, and so he'd calm down and behave himself. And that only lasted so long until he got off the phone to Santa and his attitude hadn't changed that much. But I got thinking about that. What would Santa say? Well, Santa's not going to say anything because Santa's not real. But I got to thinking, what would God say? What would God say about that behaviour? And I got thinking about that and chewing on that. And then this passage of Scripture come to mind where it says there in our text there, verse 34, "Then shall the king say." Then shall the king say. You know, God's going to have his say. I mean, the world is raging at the moment, and the militant feminists are having their say, and the militant homosexuals are having their say, and the militant environmentalists are having their say. Everyone's having their say, but there's coming a day the king's going to say something. And that's what we need to be interested in. It's not what Santa says. But we need to be interested in what the king's going to say. And I wonder what the king would say to you this morning if God burst on the scene right now. What would it be that he would say to you where you are right now in the condition you're in? What would God say? What would the king say to you? Not what you'd say. I don't care about what you got to say. I'm not interested in what your mum and dad have to say. I'm not interested in what the person in front of you has to say or behind you or your friends. But what would God say about you? What would God say to you about your behaviour this last week? What would the king say? And as I reflected on that, I got a little squirmish myself. And if you reflect on that any length of time, you'd get a little squirmish too. Because you see, Santa doesn't see anything. But God, the king, sees it all. I mean, everything. Now, you may think you have me hoodwinked, and you may think you have your mum and dad played and the wool pulled over this one's eye and the wool pulled over that one's eye. But just let me tell you that the King of Kings knows. He knows every bit of it. And what would he say about what you've done this week? What would he say about the things you've said this week? What would he say about the text messages you've sent this week? What would he say about what you've liked on Instagram this week? What would he say about what you followed on Facebook this week? I just wonder what the king would say to you. Amen. Be a pretty good question to ask, you know, it's a little searching. What would the king say? What would the king say? Now, go back with me. Let's go up. Just let's make a bit of an introduction here. Let's look at verse 31. First of all, I want to remind you that Christ is coming back.
Yeah,
when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Won't that be a glorious day?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that day. The longer I live on this earth, and I mentioned it last week, the more you have to do with sin, and the more that you see how sin hurts, the more I'm looking forward to Jesus bursting on the scene. Come, Lord Jesus. So Jesus is coming back. Go back with me to chapter 24, and let's look at the context. Go back to chapter 24. We're going to start in verse 30 all the way through here. The Lord Jesus is speaking all the way through these couple of chapters. It's all about the last times, the end days, Christ's return, and the coming judgment and different things that we're looking at. But notice what it says here. There's quite a few times all the way through these two chapters, the reference to the coming of Christ is mentioned. And I'm just wanting to emphasize to you that Jesus is coming again. The King is coming. The King is coming. Notice verse 30 of chapter 24. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You know, they're not going to rejoice. The nation's not going to rejoice when Christ bursts on the scene. They're going to mourn. They're going to be weeping and wailing when Jesus comes back because they're not ready. And they've been living in sin and living in rebellion. Notice verse 33. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. What's near? What's at the doors? The coming of Christ is near. Things are drawing to an end, folks. You know, 2,000 years ago, Paul thought it was just around the corner.
Yeah.
he said, hey, it's just around the corner. Christ will be here any moment. And if Paul thought Christ was coming back at any moment 2,000 years ago, how much more likely is it Christ would burst on the scene today? If he lived with a great expectation of seeing Jesus, you and I ought to be living with an even greater expectation of seeing Jesus. But the poor fact is we live with less expectation than what Paul did. God help us to be sober about the coming of Christ. Notice verse 36 through 39. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You know, just as in the days of Noah, they were eating, drinking, partying, marrying, they were just living life. Well, Noah, for 120 years, built the ark and preached to them and warned them that the rain's coming, the flood's coming, you better get ready, you better get ready, you better get ready, you better get ready. I'm warning you, I'm warning you, I'm warning you. For 120 years he did that. But the floods came and it was too late because they didn't realize the importance and how imperative it was to get in the ark. Amen. And so it's going to be in the day when Jesus comes back, when he bursts on the scene, they're just going to be living life. They're going to be sitting down at Zarafa's. They're going to be sitting at McDonald's. They're going to be out on their farm, ploughing their fields. They're going to be mustering cattle and branding cattle. They're going to be out fishing for prawns and fishing for crabs. And life's just going to be normal. They're just going to be going about their normal day. They're not going to expect Jesus to come back and he's going to burst on the scene.
Amen.
He is coming.
Yep.
He's coming. The King is coming. Thank God he's coming. Notice verse 42. For I was a-hungered. Yep, verse 42, I was in the wrong chapter. Chapter 24 and verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Another reference to the fact that he's coming and you don't know when. Verse 44, therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. It's exactly like in the days of Noah. They didn't think he was coming, but he came. They didn't get up that day. They didn't make their coffee that morning thinking, you know, the rain's going to come today. But the rain came that day. The flood came and it was too late. And there's going to be days that people are going to get up and they're going to be making their coffee. They're going to be cooking their eggs. And as they get up and start their day, they're not going to be doing it with an expectation that the king's coming. But that ought to be you and me. You and I that are believers, we ought to be living with expectation that the king might come today. And we ought to live soberly because of that. Notice chapter 25 and verse 6. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. That's another reference. Notice verse 13. Watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I'm telling you, the king is coming. John 14 and verse 13, he said to his disciples, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And you know he's going to keep that promise because he's never messed up on a promise yet. And he's going to keep that promise and he's coming. The king is coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. The king's coming. Verse 31, it makes it very plain there in our text that the king is coming. And when he is coming, he's going to sit upon his throne. He's sitting upon his throne. That means the king's going to be in his place of authority. And he's going to rule and he's going to reign. Amen. Praise God. Wonderful. That's good news.
Yes, sir.
It's good news. The king's coming and he's going to sit on his throne. And he's going to rule. Notice verse 32. We see not only is Christ coming back, but we see in verse 32 there's going to be a great gathering of people. And before him, here he is, the King of kings and Lord of lords, sitting upon his throne. And before him shall be gathered all nations. Remember, they're wailing. They're not coming rejoicing before the king. They're coming in terror. But they're coming. Because the king said move, and they're moving. A lot of people, God calls a lot of people in our day, I'm sure of that. People won't move at his voice. But there's coming a day they will respond. I plead with you to respond when you hear the sweet voice of God wooing you and calling you and drawing you. I encourage you to respond to the voice of God and move when he tells you to move. But we see here, before him there shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So we see not only a great gathering, but we see a great drafting, a great dividing of the people in verse 33. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. You know, it's an amazing thing what's going to happen here. God's going to gather all nations together. And then he's going to divide the nations. He's going to divide the people. If you've ever been in the bush or you know anything about the country, know anything about farming, you muster cattle, you muster sheep, you muster them together, you gather them together. There's a great gathering takes place. But then when you've got them mustered up and gathered together in the yards, then there's a great drafting. There's a great dividing. You take that mob of sheep or that mob of cattle and you divide them up into however many mobs you need to divide them up into so you can manage the different lots of animals and take care of them to their specific needs. You know, that's exactly what God's going to do. He's going to be on the drafting gate. You know, and some people aren't very good at the drafting gate. It was always frustrating when you're drafting cattle and, you know, you might have to draft 3,000 head of cattle in a day. You've got to keep that thing moving. And you want the best man on the drafting gate. There's nothing worse than having a bunch of young fellas that have never done it before in the round yard on the drafting gates. They're missing cattle, they're bruising cattle, all sorts of a mess goes on. It's the most frustrating thing. But when you've got a group of fellas in that round yard that know what they're doing, you can just nearly run a constant stream of cattle through there and it doesn't stop. And they don't miss a thing. Beautiful machinery. Getting romantic now. Need to move on. Missing the drafting. Anyway, God's going to be doing the drafting. And you know what? He's the best drafter there's ever been. He's going to be on the drafting gate. God's going to be in the round yard. He's going to be in a drafting gate. And his angels are gathering the mob together. You go over there to Revelation chapter 14. With their sickle. Harvesting the nations. Gathering the nations together. And then God drafts them up left and right. Sheep, goats, lost, saved. I'm telling you, the king's got something to say.
Amen.
But before he says anything, he comes and he sits on his throne and there's a great gathering. And then after the great gathering, there's a great dividing. You know, if you... we know Pastor Kevin Byer here. He messaged me, called me this week, and he was after a song that Cindy Helms used to sing. And I was talking about, well, it's not the family circle, but it's something similar. But the idea of the song is, will the family circle be broken over there? Will the family be all together over there? On the other side, on the eastern shore, will all the family be gathered together, or will this family circle be broken? You know, if in that great drafting day, you know, you need to do business now if you want to get drafted into the family of God.
Yes.
It's going to be too late after he's gathered the nations. Too late. It's too late after you die. It's now is the time, like Johnny said, about if he one thing he could ask for is mercy. Paul said, I've obtained mercy. And if you're going to obtain mercy, now's the time. Because after the gathering and the drafting's done, it's too late to get a hold of mercy. So there's going to be a great dividing and a great drafting. And I wonder what side you're going to be on. You're going to be on the left or the right? Are you a goat or are you a sheep? Are you a child of the king? Or are you lost this morning? Because based on where you are in relation to that question, whether you're lost or whether you're saved, whether you're a child of God or a child of the devil, based on those things is going to determine what the king's going to say to you. Remember, the king's got something to say and he's going to say it. But what's going to determine what he says to you is whether you're a sheep or whether you're a goat. Whether you're lost or whether you're saved. Based on that is going to determine what the king says to you. I'm glad that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19 is in the Bible, because I do not have this knowledge. But it says there in 2 Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Isn't that a good thing?
Yes, sir.
That's a wonderful seal.
Amen.
That's a wonderful foundation, because the King of Kings, the one that's going to be the draft, doing the drafting, he knows exactly how to draft. He knows who the scrubbers are. He knows who the strangers are. He knows who belongs to the neighbours. And he knows who belongs to his. He knows. He knows whether you're saved or whether you're lost. And that's wonderful. I wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah.
I trust some of you are saved. But you know, as a pastor and as a preacher, when you preach a message like this or you preach a salvation message, I just assume you're all lost. You're all lost, going to hell, and you're all goats that need to be saved.
Good. Amen.
Good. Right?
Good.
Now, I believe that some of you are saved. Trust you, but I don't know. Only the Lord knows. That's the wonderful seal that God knows. I don't, but God does. Praise God. Wonderful. Let's have a look at this. So there's the king's come. There's been a gathering. There's been a drafting. He's got the drafting right, okay? He's not made any mistakes. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Genesis 18 and verse 25. The answer is yes. All down through your life, no matter what he allows to come into your life, he's done well by you. He's done right. It's okay. He's done well. And at the end, at the drafting, he'll do the right thing. He'll get it right every time. Let's have a look at the sheep. In verse 34, then, so after the drafting, he's got the sheep on the right, he's got the goats on the left. Then shall the king say, unto them on his right hand, praise God, I know. I don't know a lot of things. Like I said, I don't know whether you're lost or saved, but I know I'm saved.
Yeah.
And I know at that drafting day I'll be on the right-hand side. I know. And so what he says here in verse 34, hallelujah, he's speaking to me. And if you're saved and you know it, he's speaking to you. Right? Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, do you see the king? Do you see the separation? Now he turns to his sheep. He turns to them that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He turns to them that have received his precious Son as their Lord and Saviour. He turns to them that have, by faith, have abandoned themselves and abandoned their sin and thrown themselves on the cross of Calvary, and they've plunged in that flood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. He turns to that crowd. Are you in that crowd? I hope you're in that crowd. Because that day when the king's sitting on his throne and he turns to his right hand, and notice what the king has to say. He says, come. Oh, wonderful. Won't that be good to hear? When the king on his throne says, come. Come, ye blessed of my Father.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Amazing words, brethren. Amazing words. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The old account was settled long ago.
Yeah.
Brother James, the old account was settled long ago.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. And so because of that, in that great drafting day, I'm going to be on the right-hand side and I'm going to hear the king say, come. Wonderful. Come. Are you going to hear that? Now, if you're saved, if you've been born again, you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, that's a precious thing to look forward to. I've heard some good things. My ears, 41-year-old ears, they're not as old as some of your ears, but they're older than some of your ears. And these ears have heard some bad things and have heard some good things. They've heard teas ready.
Man.
They've heard I love you.
Good.
They've heard appreciate you. They've heard you mean something to me. They've heard some good things. And they've heard some bad things, so I'm not going to repeat those. But our ears have heard all sorts of things. Oh, brethren, that's going to be a wonderful day when we hear those words. Come. Isn't that wonderful? When the king has his say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The millions that are going to be there and hear that. What a wonderful thing. What a gathering that will be. Wonderful. Wonderful. What a gathering. Notice from the context, we're going to go back again and look at these virgins and these other things. I'm just pulling out a verse. Notice verse 10 back in chapter 24. Chapter 25 and verse 10. I'm just not taking the time to expound all this. I'm just drawing this out. Notice this. And while they went to buy, that was the foolish virgins that didn't have their lamps trimmed. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Wonderful. Notice verse 21. Now, this is the faithful and the unfaithful servants. Again, I'm not taking the time to draw it all out, just pulling this here. Notice this, verse 21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And then you come over here where the king had something to say, and he said, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So we've got the marriage. We're entering in the marriage there. And then we've got entering into the joy of the Lord. And then here we've got the king on his throne turning to the right hand and saying, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that day where I get to enter into the joy of the Lord. Won't that be good?
Yes.
Wonderful day. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." Not only, you know, when we come to the Lord Jesus after the king says, "Come, inherit," we're not only inheriting the joy of the Lord, but we're also inheriting the rest. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired, I'm weary, and I'm not even old yet, but I'm tired and weary. And I'm looking forward to entering into that rest. Oh, it'll be a sweet rest. I was emailing Brother Smith up there in East Timor this week, and back and forth, and he's tired and he's worn out, and I was just seeking to encourage him and getting to look forward to that rest, and we both acknowledge that rest will be good. It'll be a day of joy, and it'll be a day of rest. Revelation 14 and verse 13, "I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Right blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours, and their works do follow them." I'm telling you, when the king has his say, it's going to be a good day. For those of us that are on the right hand, that are the sheep of God, and that are the blood-washed saints, children of God, it's going to be a good day when the king has his say. What's the king going to say? What would Santa say? Worry about what Santa would say. Worry about what the king's going to say. And if you're saved and you're ready to stand before God in that day, he's going to say, "Come." Wonderful. Jump with me now to verse 41. He said to his brethren, "Come," after he's been speaking to those on his right, he now turns to the left. And if you go back to verse 40, put it in context, speaking of the king there, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me." And there he's speaking to his brethren there on the right hand side, because his brethren said, when did we clothe you? When did we feed you? When did we see you all like this? And he said, "If you've done it to one of my children, you've done it to one of my brethren, you've done it to me." And that's why you better be careful how you treat the brethren. You know, you better be careful how you treat the world and lost people. But you better be especially careful how you treat God's children. God is jealous of his children. And he loves his children, every one of them. And if you speak ill of them, You mistreat his children. You slander his children. One of his dear children. I wouldn't like to be in that position if I was you. Thank God. Better be careful. Notice verse 41. He's finished with the right hand. Now he turns to the left. What's the king going to say to the goats? What's he going to say to them on the left? Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand. He didn't say come. He said depart. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I'm telling you, the king's going to have his say. And based on where you are in relation to the king, it's going to determine what he says to you. He's either going to say, come. Isn't that a wonderful gesture? Come. Or he's going to say, depart. I mean, we're talking about the king. We're talking about the King of Kings. We're talking about the Lord Jesus. He's either going to say, come. Or he's going to say, depart. And I'm glad that I got it settled some 20 years ago that at that gathering, he's going to say to me, come. But if you're lost this morning and you've never repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you find yourself at this gathering on the left-hand side, he's going to point his finger and he's going to say, depart. What's the king going to say to you? What are you going to hear with those ears? Is it going to be happy day? Or is it going to be a sad day? It's going to be one or the other. Go back with me to the virgins here. Notice verse 12. Verse 11 and 12. But after came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. I know you not. Notice verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then he says to the goats on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Can I emphasize to you this morning that hell was not prepared for you? It says it there very plainly in that passage of Scripture, that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. God would have all men to be saved. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will, God's desire, is that all men everywhere would believe. But it's going to come down to whether you receive Christ or whether you reject Christ. What have you done this morning? This morning, have you received him? Or have you rejected him? I exhort you to receive Christ this morning. Repent of your sin. Place your faith in the Lord Jesus. Call upon his name. And do you know that it says there in Romans chapter 10, and he's at verse 13. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter what you've, you know, we heard testimony, and I'm not trying to embarrass you, brother, but our brother Alex, God saved him out of a life of deep drug addiction. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah. Wonderful. I was addicted to mess, all sorts of rubbish when God saved me. But you know, he also saved Casey, grew up in a Christian home. Because it doesn't matter where you came from or how you were raised. Right. It makes no difference. You still must repent and believe.
Yep.
You still must receive Jesus.
Yep.
And if you reject him, he'll say to you, depart, ye cursed. Oh, I exhort you this morning to receive Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. Turn with me, please, just quickly back to Matthew chapter 13. I want you to notice a couple of verses here in Matthew 13. We're going to start in verse 37. I'm going to read down to verse 43. Notice this. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Reapers. Do you know, over, and we're going to read it in a minute, but when you get over to Revelation chapter 14, those reapers have got sickles. Sounds a little bit like the Grim Reaper, doesn't it? And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. I wonder what you do. I don't care what you say. What do you do? It says he'll gather them which do iniquity and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. Hey, that's you and me. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Sobering passage of Scripture, isn't it? Go with me to Revelation 14. We're going to read over here and we're coming down towards the end. I'm not asking you to consider what would Santa say. What's God going to say? What's the King going to say? What are you going to hear? Come or depart? Revelation 14, we're going to start in verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours, and their works do follow them. Hallelujah. That's you and me that are saved by the good grace of God. And I looked and beheld a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. What a picture. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud. So we got one angel speaking to another angel. Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. So now we've got a third angel. He also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire. It's an interesting statement. You know, when I read that, I'm reminded of that angelic being that took that coal and put it on the prophet Isaiah's lips. I don't know if it's the same one. I don't know. And cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city. Something else was done outside the city, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't that Calvary?
Yeah.
Wasn't Christ hung on Calvary outside the city, suffering that shame? That you and I may not hear those words depart, but hear those words come. The winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even under the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. You know, 1,600 furlongs is about 180 miles. That's a long way. Blood up to a horse's bridle, that's a lot of blood. You know, there's an interesting correlation here between things. But let me just say this, and I'm not going to get too in-depth in it all, but let me just make this statement as I'm closing. You either receive the blood of Christ that was shed outside the city at the cross of Calvary, or you'll be put in a wine press and your blood will be shed outside the city. I'd never seen that before. I just saw that just now as I was reading. That's
good.
Yeah, man. Oh, I'm thankful for the King.
Yes, sir.
That went outside the city.
Yeah.
Willingly hung on that cross. Shed his lifeblood for you and for me. That in that day I might hear the King say, "Come."
Come on.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What are you going to hear? What's the King going to say? Are you going to hear that word depart? And you put in that wine press. See, you either suffer the shame of receiving Christ and take on his shame as a Christian in this world. You either take that shame and you receive that blood that was shed for you, or you'll suffer the agony and the wrath and the shame of being taken outside the city and put in the wine press of the wrath of God. And God pressing the lifeblood out of you. That's graphic, isn't it? You know, the wine press, they put those grapes in there and they get in there, hopefully with clean feet and trim toenails, and they press the wine, the grapes, that's how they used to. And the grape juice would flow out the bottom of that wine press. They get in there and they'd stomp those grapes. And the grape juice would come out. King's going to say something one day. Everyone's having their say at the moment. But when the King has his say, at the end of the day, he'll put him in the wine press and his wrath will press out their very lifeblood. It's graphic, isn't it? Praise God. Hallelujah for the blood of Jesus that was shed for me. Do we know, sweetheart, I don't know if we sing it here, but are you able to sing "It's Still the Blood"? Do we sing that, "It's Still the Blood"? If we can't get that one, do we sing that here, John? "It's Still the Blood"? I don't think we do. I don't recall ever singing it here. It's Still the Blood. If we can't get that one, we're going to get another hymn about the blood. And we're going to stand and we're going to sing about the blood of Jesus. And I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful it was shed for me and it was shed for you. But if you've never claimed the blood of Jesus, if you've never been saved, I exhort you this morning, with all my heart, I exhort you. To flee to Calvary, flee to Jesus. You do that in sincerity, he'll save your soul. Christian, if you're saved, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb this morning. You've been born again. Happy day. Thank God there's a rest coming. And there's joy coming. And we're going to hear those beautiful words come. Praise God. That ought to give you something to shout about. Yeah. Ought to give you something to worship God for. Ought to give you a little pep in your step for the rest of the week. And encourage you in the way. Life can be difficult, but thank God we've got to look beyond life and look to what God has for us in eternity. Are we going to be able to get it?
I don't have it, but I think I can play it and sing it. I don't have any music, but I think I can do it.
You reckon you can do it?
I think
have
so.
A seat.
I think it's on the screen, Jess.
Have a seat.
Is it on there? It's Still the Blood.
I'll get Leanne to sing it. She'll sing it first, and if you need to spend time with the Lord, I encourage you. Altars are open. If you've not been saved, I encourage you to step forward and we'll get someone to speak with you. But listen to the words of this song. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you through Leanne. And listen to the words of this song. And then we'll see. We might sing it here in a minute.
Once I wandered in sin's black night, and there was no way I could make my wrongs right. Then that old accuser to the Lord did cry, "She's a sinner, and now she must die." Then I heard a voice saying, "Father, I will go and I'll pay her sin debt in Calvary's flow. I'll bear in my body the marks of the cross to save that poor sinner who's sin sick and lost. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me." It's too low.
What we're going to do...
You can do this one?
The words are all different.
No, oh, is it?
Yeah. So what we're going to
do... We'll just sing those words if you want.
You better sing those?
Yeah, I'll just try to look up there.
Okay, you pay attention then.
Sorry.
All right, Brother John, come and help us. Let's stand. It's a good song. I love this old song. A lot of truth. Still the blood, folks. Nothing's changed.
I'm going to take it up. Do you know it?
Once I wandered in sin's black night, and there was no way I could make my wrongs right. Then that old accuser to the Lord did cry, "He is a sinner, and now he must die." And it's still the blood that that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within. From the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. Then I heard a voice say, Father, I'll go and I'll pay your sin debt in Calvary's flow. I'll bear in my body the marks of the cross to save that poor sinner who's sin sick and lost. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that brings me success within. From the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. There are those who rely on the works that they do, and some men count on the times they pray through. But when the battle's over and the victory is won, I'll go home through the blood of my Father's precious Son. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within. From the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me.
Pretty rusty, wasn't it?
Yeah. We'll have to neaten up those words, and we'll have to work on that. But folks, the truth is, it's still the blood.
Yeah.
Amen.
Nothing will get you to heaven but the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Nothing else will do it. You must be washed in the blood. What will the King say? Come or depart? God help us to examine that in the fear of the Lord. John, close in a word of prayer, mate. We'll be dismissed. Encouraged to be back tonight. We'll be back at 5:30 for the prayer room, 6 o'clock service.